I ask that you speak through me today and through this time together that you might address each of us concerning our lives in some form or fashion. In Jesus' name, amen. This message today, well, by the way, I was on study leave for a week and I figured out what I was going to do for the fall, but I didn't know what I was going to do for today. But actually, this message is really about some things that are happening today in church. We have a young lady who will be joining the church today by profession of faith and baptism, and it's Josie Tsai back there. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have her come forward, and we're going to baptize her, and she's going to make a profession of faith up here. She comes from Taiwan originally, and so it's kind of this is a real new beginning in terms of her life. This message is about beginnings, and in some ways it's a message for her as she begins a new place in her life, but it also has to do with new things and beginnings in lives, like a new marriage, or a new household, or a new baby, or a new church family, and what that may mean to us. It's also a message for all of us in terms of beginnings and spiritual life journeys. Now, the scripture I have for today is in Abraham, about Abraham's faith journey. It's in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at it in a couple minutes. But I just want to start with this. When it comes to our lives, everybody here has to start somewhere. Even this sermon has to start somewhere. So let's begin. Everybody has to start somewhere, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about a career or a new marriage or a new job or maybe a new church or a beginning relationship with God through Jesus. Everybody has to start somewhere, and it is always at the beginning. When it comes to an education, everybody starts in first grade. When it comes to playing a musical instrument, you have to start with the basic. When it comes to a career, we have to start at the bottom and work our way up. When it comes to learning a sport like baseball, it begins with those first days playing t-ball. When it comes to a lifelong walk with the Lord Jesus, it always begins with that first step. When it comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, it always requires a beginning time when we start the journey and really have no idea where that journey is going to lead us. And a person can begin that journey at the age of 7 or at the age of 75 and everywhere in between in terms of age. One of the things that we need to be continually aware of is that we are a group of people who are in all stages of faith development here. We have people who have walked with the Lord Jesus a long time, and some who have walked with him for a few years, and some who have walked with him a few months, and some who do not know Jesus as Savior at all, and have not even begun the journey of making him Lord of their lives. Some might be on the verge of that new journey with him in faith. We also have people of all physical ages. We have people who have been members of this church a long time. We have people like Josie today who will begin their journey in terms of membership in this church. And some of you may have done it a few months ago. We also have a number of people who visit with us every Sunday. And I'm not going to have you stand, so don't worry about it. And someplace down the road, some of you might be members here as well. Everybody starts someplace, but it's always at the beginning. I have Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 to chapter 12, verse 7 printed in your bulletin. And this scripture shows a picture of God calling Abraham, who is the father of the faith. If you don't know anything about him, this is a picture for us of how God calls each of us out of the world into a journey of faith. And Genesis is a book of beginnings, and Abraham is a picture for us of a beginning journey of faith. So I'd like us to read it together. Here we go. Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse, and by you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions which they had gathered, and the persons that they had gotten in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak at Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. When we see this scripture, in this scripture, is that God began a work with a man who was 75 years old. So whatever our age today, it is wisdom to learn that God can begin a work in us at any age. And we all have the possibility of responding to God's call whenever he moves in our lives. When Abraham began, God called him out of his family, out of his kindred, and out of a country where he was comfortable. God called Abraham out of a place where he had everything he needed. And God began to work with him and build a man who was to be a blessing to the world. It all began, though, with a basic commitment to follow God's lead on Abraham's part. Everybody has to start someplace. And I'm going to ask a question. Where are you today? Everybody has to start someplace. Abraham was called by God to make a basic commitment to follow God's lead. Abraham made that commitment. And when he did, he left his family, his people, and his country, and he went out not knowing where he was going, only that God had told him to go, gave him direction. Abraham was comfortable. Everything was fairly understood about his life, and then God began to deal with him and call him out, and Abraham made a commitment to go where God told him to go. But he didn't know where he was going, only that God told him to move. He was moving on. And he was moving on in faith. Now there's a principle here when it comes to following God. You don't direct your life on your own terms. I know we like to, but you seek out what God wants you to do in your life. And it doesn't matter if you are a young couple seeking the first things in life, or whether you are someone who is 75 years old like Abraham, or any place in between, and any sort of lifestyle or what's going on in your life doesn't make any difference. There's a principle here about following God. And that principle is letting the Lord put together the ingredients of your life. When we look at the beginning story of Abraham, I want you to see what is going on here. Terah is Abraham's father. He begins the journey. I wonder what was going on in his heart. When I read scripture, I always think, what's going on in their mind? Because reading scripture is kind of like reading a tombstone. There's two dates, and I wonder what happened in between here. Terah is Abraham's father. He begins the journey. I wonder what he was thinking. Terah had lost a son, though. His son Haran had died. And for some reason, God got a hold on this family and caused them to move out from Ur, and the whole family left. And if you notice, they were going to the land of Canaan, but when they came to Haran, which Terah probably named after his dead son, they stopped and they settled there, and that's where Terah died. But Abraham goes on. Now, there are a couple of lessons that we can apply to our own lives from this if we want to, because I think they're principles of how God works and how we work. Terah was told to go to Canaan, but he stopped halfway there, and he died with the job half finished. He didn't have follow through. He didn't complete what God told him to do. He sat down. It doesn't say that Terah went to hell because he didn't do the will of God. He just never arrived at the place where he was destined to have in terms of what God had promised. Some followers of the Lord Jesus do the very same thing. They make a good start, but they don't follow through with their lives. They quit growing. They settle down in a comfortable place, like job security or family or comfort, where there might be very little risk. They reach a certain level of faith, and then they quit with the job half done. And people die there without ever seeing the promise of fulfillment in their lives as far as God wants to show them. There's another principle here as well. It may be that God has worked in your life in the past through a parent or a loved one, or friends, or spouse, but there comes a time when the Lord will call you to move on. And you're called to go farther in your walk in faith in a different place than the people around you. And Terah became secure and comfortable where he was, but Abraham was called to go farther. There comes a time when the Lord will call you where you need to be in terms of your personal life. And you may be called to leave family and friends, sisters and brothers, parents or children, to a new walk in faith. It's a new day, a new time, a new place, a new commitment, and even a new way of thinking. Read with me 12:1 here in Genesis. Here we go. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now I want you to notice there are three things in here that I want you to notice. God called Abraham. He calls us at times to move away from familiar and comfortable things in our lives. Our country, which is people around us who cause us to feel comfortable. People and surroundings that we know. The second thing is our kindred, our kind, which can be our family, our fellowship with other people who are like us, people we have lived with and worked with and even worshiped with. The third familiar thing that Abraham was called to leave was his father's house. Now, for us, this has to do with breaking of old ways of thinking about things. It has to do sometimes with family traditions and might even be church traditions or ideas that are fine, but we are just called to a new way of thinking as God moves us to a new place in our lives. Time and time again, God does this to us. He calls us out of points of security in order to work new things in us, and everybody has to start somewhere. And so I ask you, where are you today? And it may not be me asking you that. It may be God asking you that. Where do you find yourself today? By the way, when God asks you a question, he's not looking for information. But the starting place is not the important thing. so much as the call on our lives and the journey of faith that is ahead of us. So Abraham moves out, not really knowing where he was going. He's wrenched away from the security of his home, the comfort of family, the familiarity of the place where he was living, and he went out, not knowing where he was going, and he became the father of the faith. So what is the call of God on your life? When Jesus called the disciples, he just said, "Follow me." He didn't tell them anything about the journey. I don't think the Lord tells us much on purpose at times. When we first start our faith journeys, I don't think we can handle knowing what we are going to go through in terms of our lives at that time. You know, I think about my own life. If I'd seen down the road just this far in my life, I tell you the truth, I don't think I could have handled it at the time and what I'm doing with my life right now. The Lord builds us as we go. And then as things come upon us, we are able to handle things because he's been building on us. So as things come our way, and we can be fruitful and grow in the faith. But I don't think that we need necessarily know where we're going, just as long as we follow. Now, I want all of us, we're going to participate with Josie in an act of faith. As she begins a journey of faith, it starts really as she makes a profession of faith and is baptized, and she becomes a member of this church. But as I said, that doesn't get you into heaven. That just gets you a vote. But this is a beginning time for her. So, Josie, if you come on for her as she starts her journey. But, you know, we're always starting journeys. But I want to talk about something a little bit else other than just God moving us on in new beginnings in our journeys of faith. But I also want to talk to you about the awesome truth in that we rarely ever go alone. I would like for you to read with me verse 5 here. Here we go. "And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions which they had gathered, and the persons that they had gotten in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan," Abraham passed through it. But now I want you to look also at verse 31 up at the top here, and let's read it together. "Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there." There's a picture here also of not finishing the job. Terah didn't finish the job. He didn't have follow-through, if you were paying attention to what I talked to the kids about. If there's anybody here this morning, you started out to go to a land of promise that the Lord has called you to go to in terms of your own personal life, but you stopped someplace short of that promise, I have a word for you. Friends, you can die where you have stopped. I'm not talking about spiritual death or separation from God. I'm just talking about realizing your full potential as God's child and the Lord's purpose for your life. I see people all the time, I take tours in their lives, who fail to live as God calls them to their promised life, whatever that is. And God tells Terah to go to Canaan, but he dies in Haran before he settles down, before the job is finished, and much of his family dies with him. Abraham, though, moves on to his fulfillment. When he gets there, there are a bunch of people who are with him. A frightening thing about God's call on our lives and our response if we don't go, there are people, family, children, spouses, who are never going to get into the promises of God either because of our choice not to move. I know this, that if I do not follow the will of God as He leads us on our spiritual journey as a church, there are some of you who are not going to get there if I stop someplace because I'm your spiritual covering. And I know this as pastor of the church. You're kind of under my wing, my care, my direction, my covering. You're under my leadership and influence in terms of spiritual things. This is also true of many of you as parents or grandparents or as disciples of Jesus in your workplace. You, in fact, bring people with you into the kingdom of God. Or you have people around you who die with you because you are not willing to move on as God tells you to grow. Abraham was a spiritual covering of the people around him that moved with him. Some of you are spiritual coverings for people who are around you, and they move with you. So I want to talk about spiritual coverings for a couple minutes. Lot was like a son to Abraham. Sarah was his wife. They had servants, family, household. Abraham was the covering for this group of people. Now, the idea of covering is not something that we think too much about, except when it's not there. But it's very important. A covering is a form of protection from the weather of the world, like a tent is, or a roof. Right now, you're sitting under a roof. Now, as long as the weather's good outside, you really don't need that roof. But when the weather gets bad, you do. You have roofs on your houses, which protect you from the weather of the world. Abraham was a spiritual covering for these people. He was their roof. He was a protection over them, and many of us are coverings for our families and friends and employees and employers, for that matter. Fathers. This isn't Father's Day, but fathers are spiritual coverings for their wives and children. Mothers are spiritual coverings for their husbands and children. You know, when Josie just made the profession of faith and was baptized, she joined the church and she came under the spiritual covering of me as pastor. Now, if there are a lot of holes in those who are spiritual coverings, then there's going to be trouble in families and businesses and churches. Also, spiritual coverings can resist God's leading sometimes and cause people to die spiritually by not going where God tells them to go in terms of their life. Now, some of us may not like the idea that we are responsible for other people's opportunities to grow spiritually, but it is still a fact. Now, I realize that all of us, sooner or later, have to take responsibility for our own spiritual lives. But it is still true that fathers are the primary spiritual covering for their wives and children, and mothers are spiritual coverings for their children and husbands. And if there are a lot of holes in the covering, then the weather of the world gets in. Now, I know that I am a spiritual covering for this church and for you who are members here. I also know that if I'm not spiritually strong and wise, and if I have a lot of holes in me in terms of myself, like in areas of integrity, spiritual sight, leadership, wisdom, enthusiasm, compassion, love, or any number of areas, then there are going to be holes in the covering. You know what the difference between heaven and hell is, don't you? It's all in the management. If there are holes in your spiritual covering as a church, then there comes all kinds of harassment of our well-being as a church. Jesus talks about spiritual coverings for His people. At one point He said of Himself, He says, "When the shepherd of the flock is struck, the sheep will be scattered." And what He was saying is that when the covering is taken away, The sheep are exposed to the elements. Whether those elements are evil or just the world, they're exposed. Now, I need to speak a word of truth. Some of us that are spiritual coverings for other people are full of holes. We may think we're okay, but we've been grading our own papers. And when you grade your own papers, you always get A's. And if we're not careful, and that means full of care, some of our family members, friends in our workplace, socially, are not going to get on with what God wants them for them because we won't get on with it ourselves. You know, we have a perfect physical example in this church right now. We got a roof over there in that other building, and we've had to start a roof fund. By the way, you can give all you want. But we had to start a roof fund because we got to fix that because it's okay today because it's fine outside today. But when the weather gets bad, that place is full of holes. And it just causes a mess all the time. It's a very physical example of a spiritual truth. You know, some of us here may need to decide to get up and get out of Haran and move on spiritually. Otherwise, we may end up dying where we are right now. You know, I don't know where you are, but God does. And He may be telling you through me to get your spiritual journey, get on with it. And get up from that place of dried up faith that you might be sitting in right now and move. I also know that the Lord is a gentleman who allows us to decide for ourselves. Somebody here may be saying, well, I've followed God this far, but I'm tired. And I also kind of like it here. I won't admit I'm lazy, but I'm tired. Well, I need to tell you something. You may not have finished the job yet, but the Lord will let you die there. He will. Even though He calls you to go farther in terms of your spiritual journey and your life and your faith, He will let you die where you are. This is a message for spiritual leaders and for people who are spiritual coverings, heads of households, church officers, church leaders. Abraham moved on. If Abraham had been content to stay put in Haran, then Lot and Sarah and all their family would have died there and never seen the promised land. And let me say this to fathers particularly today. And I speak from authority as a father. I stand under the same judgment which I'm about to state. Too long, fathers, we have abdicated our spiritual authority and leadership. We've given up our responsibility to our wives or our mothers to be the spiritual leaders and heads of our families. It's time for some of us men to be the men God called us to be. Now, you know where you are right now. I know that. I'm not even suggesting that you're not a follower of Jesus. But I am suggesting that some of us may need to take a real hard look at ourselves in terms of the principle of following God's will, being the spiritual coverings and leaders God wants us to be, and quit leaving it up to the women. Anyway, everybody has to start someplace and sometime. Today is as good as any day to start or restart that journey in following Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. You know where we are on our journey in faith. Whether we're at the beginning or near the end or someplace in the middle, help us to follow you and move on in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.